So good morning again. So I had this little dilemma. One of the dilemmas was I had a very short amount of time to come up with something to say. And I'm going to tune my guitar while I'm talking to start this out here. And then I had the dilemma of having picked out a whole bunch of music that went with her talk. And specifically the song that came right after the talk, which is just going to be this great segue. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to work backwards from the song. And write something that goes with the song. Is that wrong? I don't know. Is it? Because it's a great song, you know, and we'd gone over it. And so anyway, put this down. And the song, however, references some quotes of Jesus from the Gospel of John. And when I started thinking about what the quote was, I thought, oh, that's from the Last Supper. I thought, this is an odd transition. We've just done Christmas. I don't know about you. My tree went out the door Friday night. And it's kind of weird to just jump right into the end of Jesus' ministry from infancy, right? So I apologize to Jesus for doing this. And we're going to go to the Last Supper. It's kind of like I was saying this morning at the early service, it's kind of like those board games where you land on a space and it's like chutes and ladders, really, right? I mean, every board game ultimately is chutes and ladders. And, you know, you have to go 12 spaces ahead suddenly or something, or land in jail. So hopefully I'm not in jail. And so here's Jesus with his apostles at the Last Supper. They've just finished eating, and food was not going down well, probably because they realized something was seriously up. Jesus was talking about things changing radically very shortly, and they were just kind of starting to get the message that he's not kidding. And Jesus sees this, and he begins consoling them. And there's this lovely long passage in this chapter of John's Gospel. I forget which chapter it is. Obviously, toward the end. It's called the Last Discourse. And he begins it by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in me as well. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and welcome you into my presence so that you may also be where I am." So it's a curious passage in a couple of ways. Like, what are these rooms he's talking about? Or mansions? You know, in the King James, it's in my Father's house there are many mansions, which is kind of oddly translated from a word that basically means dwelling places. Does Jesus, like, have to go there and get the rooms ready, like, you know, make the beds or something? What's the deal with that? What is the meaning of this prepare a place for you? Maybe he's just recognizing that they are essentially about to be or already feeling homeless in a couple of different ways. One, they've been traveling with this guy for 3 years. They've left everything, right? And suddenly he's not going to be there? Like, what's going on, you know? So they're feeling bereft about that. And then there's the fact that they did leave their home 3 years ago. And can they go back to that? Will whoever was there let them back in the house? Right? Can they just go back to whatever little job they were doing and pretend nothing happened? Right? So they are really on the edge of, they may be already losing it. And then, you know, they can't imagine how they could live without this guy they've been living with. He's become essentially their home, their life. Can they just, you know, return to the old ways? He has upended their lives in an amazing ways, give them a whole new way of living, a whole new meaning to what life means for them. Can they go back to the dailiness of life after witnessing the glory that they've witnessed? So they're already feeling like orphans. And in fact, just a little further on in the passage, he says to them, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And this last part, this I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you, he kind of repeats this phrase or various variations of it throughout this last discourse, like as if to say, this is what you have to remember. This is the important part. This is what I'm trying to bring home to you. The bigger picture. I don't think what he's saying is, I got to die, and then I'm going to go up to heaven. And I'm going to try to straighten things up there so eventually you'll die and you come up there and we can hang out again. I don't think, it's not what he's saying, clearly. Everything he's talking about, he means is true right here and now, right there and then. He's saying there is room in my Father's house right now for everybody, no matter who you are. I used to sing an old spiritual with these guys, that goes something like, plenty good room, plenty good room in my Father's kingdom. There's plenty good room, just choose your seat and sit down. Love that. So when Jesus told them that they knew the place where he was going, Thomas, who was always the one to pipe up, right, said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, much has been made about these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Some Christians have used it for centuries to exclude people of other faiths and basically say, you know, if you don't join our church, you ain't going to heaven. Sorry, but that's what it says right here. Yeah. But Jesus, it's important to know that Jesus is speaking here as the Christ. That same Christ present in all of his disciples and in each of us. That sort of sounds like a new idea to maybe to some factions of Christianity, but people have been talking about this for a long time. And in fact, the Fillmores, Charles and Myrtle, were saying this 100 years ago, that this idea of the I am presence, that when Jesus used those words, in the Gospel of John, he says the words I am 45 times. Sometimes he's really just saying, I'm going to go over and sit over there on that rock. But most of the time, he's using these I am statements. And so Jesus and John in the gospel is trying to drive this home. There's something about these words. And of course, any of his readers who are of the Jewish persuasion will know where it came from, right? From the story of Moses on Mount Horeb, where he says to God on the mountain, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? And God says to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. Referring to these words of Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. Charles Fillmore wrote that right here, and I got my pages mixed up here. Where's page two? Oh, there it is. Okay. Charles Fillmore says, right here, Jesus emphasized the spiritual man, the I am in man, as the only way by which man can enter the kingdom of God. That door to the kingdom of God is right here, right here. I'm going to go back to that story of Moses. There's a metaphysical teaching hidden in that story. Horeb literally means desert or solitude. So he's going to a high place, a mountain, and a place of solitude. So that story invites us to find that solitude, that stillness within, and go to that higher consciousness, that I am presence, that we call the Christ consciousness. The I am the way passages referenced in A Course in Miracles, and as you probably know, because I usually bring this in when I give a talk here, because it's kind of my go-to path. I wanted to see what the Course said, if anything, about that passage, and it does say this in chapter 7 of the Course, and it's you're hearing Jesus speaking here. When I said I am with you always, I meant it literally. I am not absent to anyone in any situation. Because, and this is really key, because I am with you always, you are the way, the truth, and the life. You did not make this power any more than I did. It was created to be shared and therefore cannot be meaningfully perceived as belonging to anyone at the expense of another. I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. So he's saying, if I say I am the way, the truth, and the life, you can say the same thing if you are speaking from that place of oneness, from that Christ consciousness. We can get the idea from the gospel that Jesus is talking about some far-off place, heaven, but no, it's right here and now. So why does he have this thing about going somewhere to prepare a place for you? Why is that idea in there? I think it's because, this is my thinking, we are caught in the unreal here. It was brought up in what Sam read and what John said. We are caught up in the unreal, the illusory, because we are not experiencing every day that full contact with the divine that Jesus was experiencing. And he was saying, this is my experience. This is meant to be your experience right here, right now. So he's using this image of the house to say there is room for you in this house right now, for anyone. Find my place here. He's directing us to the real, to the truth, and to the life. He's saying, you aren't separate. I am in the Father, and you and me, and I in you right here, right now. If we can completely surrender to that, we will know it. We will know that we are never alone. We will know that I and the Father are one. A little bit farther ahead in the Course in Miracles, in that chapter, it says this: to be in the kingdom is merely to focus your full attention on it. As long as you believe you can attend to what is not true, you are accepting conflict as your choice. Is it really a choice? It seems to be, but seeming and reality are hardly the same. You who are the kingdom are not concerned with seeming. Reality is yours because you are reality. Thing about Jesus is that he learned to do this, to focus his full attention on the kingdom, to hear only the Father's voice. This is one way in which he has prepared a place for us. He has paved the way, and being with us always can lead us down that path. One of the other I am sayings in the Gospel of John is, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine grower. I am the vine, you are the branches. when John Frederick came in this morning, he asked me what the talk was about because he was going to kind of do the meditation around it. And he said, oh, that he rattled off this quote from Charles Fillmore off the top of his head. God is a mighty stream of substance, and you are a tributary of that stream. Impressed. God is a mighty stream of substance, and you are a tributary of that stream. Very much the idea. With the vine metaphor, you know what a vine looks like. You've been to an to a vineyard, perhaps. You know that the stem and the branches are of the same substance, right? They're all extensions of that divine life. And so when he used that image, the vine and the branches, it's like he's saying, I'm trying to get you back into this vine here. The juices are flowing, but you're not feeling it. Think this way. Do it this way. Say these words. Remember that the Father and I are one. And you'll begin to feel that again. He's trying to get the juices flowing through his disciples and out to us. So we could say as an affirmation, I am a branch of the divine. The substance of divinity flows through me. Well, Reverend Crystal had an affirmation to end with, which I'll end with in a moment. And it comes back to this passage about the metaphor of the house and the mansions and the rooms. Jesus is getting that house, in a sense, that was in disarray back into order so that we can be at home in God, where we're meant to be, where we are, in fact. And so let's close today with this affirmation, a very simple one. We'll say it together. I am in my Father's house. I want you to sit with that for a few moments and feel the truth of that right here and right now. We are in the Father's house, the Mother's house. We'll say it again together. I am in my Father's house. And so it is. Thank you. And I wanted to also say that there was a lot of usage of the Father image of God. Certainly in unity, it's our preference to see that God is not of gender, but we often like to use Mother, Father, God as a way of encompassing it all. But for the purposes of this talk and the song that we're about to do, that image and the image that Jesus used so much, we're using this morning. So if that triggers you in any way, please don't be triggered by it. So I'll invite Joan and Dennis to come back up, and we'll do the song that was meant to come out of Crystal's talk.
Thank you, Roger.
Who will guide me when I cannot see? Who will lift me from the pit when I've fallen in a world between? Take my ship safely up from these stormy seas. I trust my Father, for he gave his hand to me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And through the doorway of your heart, you'll find the house is always open. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And through the doorway of our hearts, we'll find the house is always open. For you, my daughters and sons, for you are a child of the eternal one. I find my Father. He is inside of me, this eternal power. Oh, lift the veils and see, I am my Father, and my Father is me. Oh, I am the flower of his infinite tree.
In my Father's house there are many mansions,
and through the doorway of your heart you'll find the house is always open. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and through the doorway of our hearts we'll find the house is always open for you, my daughters and sons. For you are a child of the Eternal When there's darkness all around. Hold me in your light. You are my sacred ground. Hold me in the light that's streaming out from my Father's house. For in my Father's house there are many mansions, and through the doorway of your heart you'll find the house is always open. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and through the doorway of our hearts we'll find the house is always open.
Sing it again.
In my Father's house is always open.
In my Father's house
there are many mansions,
and
through
the doorway of our hearts we'll find the house is always open.
I'm in my Father's house.
I'm in my Father's house.
I'm in my Father's house.
I'm in my